A pat on the back, young man, Elliot. You're going to develop into a fine hockey reporter one day.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. I don't really know if I want to celebrate or anything like that. It almost is like ghoulish to celebrate somebody leaving a job. I'm just glad that it's over and that nobody has this hanging over them anymore. If I put it that way.
Yeah. But Ellie, just from a reporter's standpoint, a lot of people saying, oh no, he's denied it, that this story isn't true. How do you react, the guy who actually broke the story and clearly knew the truth all along?
Well, you understand that it has to happen. The thing is, the one thing I'd like everybody to know is I've dealt with Tim Leiwicki a lot over the last couple of years, or year, 16 months or whatever, and every time he's dealt with me, everything he's told me has turned out to be true. So when I think you doubt yourself a little bit, you know, you always believe in your sources and your reporting, or else you don't go with it. I mean, your credibility is all you have in this business. But when he came out and denied it, yeah, I think you doubt yourself for a little bit. But, I always believed it would end up this way, that this was going to be the situation. I think, obviously, I left myself out there to dry a little bit when I used the phrase soon, because there's a lot of, what soon really is. And to be perfectly honest, June 30th, 2015 really doesn't qualify as soon. But, I always believed it was going to turn out to be correct. It was just a matter of, how long was it going to take?
So in dealing with Tim Leiwicki or speaking with him and getting to know him and seeing the work that he's done with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment and Toronto Maple Leafs, Raptors, and TFC, there's a lot of fans out there right now that are saying, well, is this ultimately going to be a good thing or a bad thing for the team that I love? What do you think?
Well, the one thing that's really amazed me over the last couple of days is I think you look at the reaction from the different fans. The hockey fans, I think, are a little bit unsure of his legacy. The whole thing about determining his legacy to me, guys, is really silly, because we're not going to know his legacy probably for another few years. How will the Brendan Shanahan era go? Until we know the answer to that, we can't determine it. But the basketball fans obviously like what happened last year, and the Toronto FC fans love the guy. That's one thing I really learned, because I don't follow Toronto FC a lot, but in my timeline and reading about it the past couple of days, if there was one group of fans that was saying, I hope you're totally wrong on this, it's the Toronto FC fans. They love him. They love what he's done with the team. They love the fact that they feel that he really cares about the team a lot. I think that those are the people who are most affected and most disappointed. But I don't think, all the jokes aside about mission accomplished and things like that, the true legacy of Leiwicki will not be determined for a while. To me, the biggest question right now is, how did all of this go down? Is this something he wanted? Is this something he didn't want? I think there's no question in my mind, based on what he said the last couple of days, that he wanted one more year. I don't know if he wanted it to be potentially shorter than a year.
Elliot, with the hiring of Brendan Shanahan, do you think he had any inkling that this was going to happen with Tim Leiwicki? And how important was the relationship between him and Leiwicki to actually take this job with the Leafs?
Well, Leiwicki, played a big role in convincing him to take it. There's no question about that. I think, judging from what we've seen over the last 24 hours to 48 hours, I think you've got to believe that Shanahan wanted a year with him, believed there was going to be a year with him. I think the one thing we all understood, and I'm sure Shanahan understood this too, is that we all knew that Tim Leiwicki in Toronto was not a long-term thing. That it was, and I've said this plenty of times, it was another chapter in the book, not the epilogue in the book, and that he wasn't going to be here for a long time. So I think Shanahan knew coming in that he would probably get a year with Leiwicki, and that was probably it.
Do you think that at the time of the hiring, MLSE looked at it as a short-term thing, kind of right the ship and then take over after that without Tim?
Well, I think so. I think that's probably it. I think if there was one thing that upset maybe the people at MLSE, the ownership, is that they didn't like the fact that there were constant rumors that he was going here, he was going there. Like, there have been a lot. Like, I saw John Shannon today talked about on Twitter about how it was he was hearing MSG or NBC Comcast. And Bob McCowan's been reporting a lot about the potential of the Clippers. I, you know, one executive told me yesterday when I was talking to him about this story that he said to me if he was an owner of a team, and this is a guy who doesn't work in Toronto, that it would bother him if he heard that many rumors about the guy who was at the top of the organization. You know, Tim Leiwicki made a lot. Like, he, when he came here, he said he asked for power, and he got it, and he used it. And I think there's a lot of dynamics with him in the board that were, you know, because of the hockey rights, because guys at that position are used to having control. Leiwicki had control, and he wielded it. And I think when you do that and you make difficult decisions, you're going to make enemies. And I think that's why, you know, even though like, the story came out 2 days ago, there have been a lot of reporters speculating about this for a long time. And I think it was just a matter before it was going to happen.
Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman here on the Jeff Blair Show. Elliot, you talk about the board and the quote-unquote unholy alliance between Rogers and Bell. Is that relationship maybe a little more difficult than what we even think it potentially could be?
I think it's difficult. I mean, obviously, you know, somehow it got done last night with this decision to announce today that Leiwicki was June 30th or sooner. At the end of the day, those two companies, they want to beat each other. They unite for certain things, like buying this team and maybe lobbying the government. But at the end of the day, they're cutthroat competitors. And when you have what we had with the hockey rights and Rogers winning over Bell in a brutal battle, I mean, it's going to leave hard feelings. And I think it's not easy. And I think navigating that is going to be a challenge. It was a challenge for Leiwicki, and it's going to be a challenge for the next person, whoever he or she may be.
We're speculating as to why Tim Leiwicki's made this decision. Talk about the prospects that are outside the organization, outside of Toronto, that perhaps he's looking at. You know, and some have said that, you know, maybe his family just doesn't want to live here, and that's fine. Maybe they just want to be home, and I could see that. You know, if I had to leave the city and go somewhere else, I don't know if I'd like it. I'd want to be back here in Toronto. Do you know if there's any one more reason than any other as to why he's decided to do this?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, whether, you know, what he says, if it's his decision or he felt he was pressured into it. I mean, like, even though the announcement's been made, I mean, the question has to be asked, is it his decision or is it the board's decision? And so I'd be curious to hear his answer to that. That's number one. But like I said, Jeff, I think it was always a situation where this was not going to be a long-term stop for him. And, you know, two hours, that would really be short. I think, you know, it's been reported, and he's denied it. He denied it to Michael Grange the other day, but it's been reported that you know, he has a two-year non-compete in the United States, which would go to March of next year. And, you know, he says that's not true, but whatever the case is, you know, I think if it was pretty clear from his statements the other day that this coming NHL/NBA season was going to be the last season, and then it was time, whether it was to go back closer to home, whether it was to do something else, he was not going to be here long-term. So I think in the last little while, it became a matter of when, not if.
Elliot, that's very interesting, the first point you made to me, that if he was getting forced out, I think as a whole, and as you mentioned at the top of the interview, that Toronto FC fans love the guy. The Raptors are thrilled that he came here and brought Masai Ujiri, and obviously the jury's still out on what Brendan Shanahan can do with this Maple Leafs team. But if I'm a fan of one of those three teams, or all of them, should I be angry at the upper board if they wanted to kick this guy out just because of maybe a power struggle?
Well, I think if you're an FC fan, and this is the number one I think I've actually seen from the Toronto FC fans, is that they want to know. I think they're probably the most worried ones right now, because they want to know, okay, what does this mean for our team? Like, I think, like, if you're a Raptor fan, like, Ujiri has cachet right now, right? Like, after the year he had last year, you're looking at him and you're saying, okay, we believe in what this guy is doing. I think if you're FC, you look at it and you say, boy, Lewicki was the really driving force, and you're hoping the next guy cares as much about FC as this guy did and has the money and is willing to spend it the way this guy did. I think Leaf fans, I think they look at it like it all depends on if you believe in the moves that are making this being made this summer. If you don't agree with the removals of Poulin and Loisel and the changes on the coaching staff or the hiring of the analytics, if you don't agree with all that, you're going to say, good, this guy's gone. But if you do agree with that and feel the change of direction is what the organization needed, then you're going to support. Then you're going to say, well, this is too bad. Let's see what the next person does. I don't know. I think it's, like I said, I think the guy's legacy, it's way too early to determine that. And it's all going to, and I think it's going to come down to, hey, Brendan Shanahan clearly has a plan as long as he's allowed to do the plan. And I think in recent years, the board has been much better at stepping back and let guys do what they want to do. Then I think everything's going to be okay.
Elliot, you mentioned legacy, and everything's great with the Raptors and Toronto FC, you mentioned, but will his legacy, and albeit a short period of time here, will we just be judged on what he did with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No, I think that Shanahan will have a lot to say about how his legacy is. Is Shanahan successful? People are going to remember that Lewicki was the guy that brought him in. Like, I think it's silly in a lot of ways to say a guy's legacy is determined on the day they leave. That's not true. Like, Toronto's looking for the NBA All-Star Game. They're getting a new practice facility. They're looking for the NHL All-Star Game. Like, there's a lot of things that they are working on to try and get done. Like, if all of this stuff happens, it's part of his legacy. And clearly, they wanted to make changes, and he did that. He wielded his power as he said he would. I think it's almost silly to say a legacy is this. I think we won't really know his legacy until for a couple of years at least.
Well, you talk about the initiatives and the dreams that Lewicki has or that MLSE has, and which one is it? Do you believe that Lewicki was brought in to carry out plans that MLSE had, or Lewicki was the visionary and implemented these visions for MLSE, and it's now up to MLSE to carry it through after Tim Lewicki?
I think a lot of these things were his idea.
Oh, wow.
I do. I really do. I think, like, it, people who know him and my dealings with him is he's a confident person. He believes in himself. He believes in his ideas. I don't think you get to where he's been in business without having that belief in yourself. And I think that a lot of these decisions were his. And did he... You know, when he did the first interview with us on Hockey Night when he got hired, you know, I asked him, who has the final say? And he said, it was me. And I think that's true. I think he did have the final say in a lot of ways. And I think at times it rankled the people on the board because they're used to having final say on things. Like like I said earlier, he's a bulldozer. He decides what he wants to do, and he's gonna do it, whether you like it or not.
Elliot, I know it's way too early now to talk about a successor, but Jeff and I were just pie in the sky earlier, and is it too much of a coincidence, or is merely coincidence?
You're going to say Mark Cohan, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, and a lot of people on Twitter have been as well.
You know, it's funny, like, I did get a lot of, that was, like, this morning text messages, people were asking that same question. I mean, one of the questions I think is going to get asked is it important that MLSE has a Canadian there? So I wonder if that's going to be an issue. Like, I wonder if Tom and Selmy possibly could be in play again here. I think Cohan, like, from a purely logical point of view, without doing any research on it, Cohan's name makes a lot of sense. But if you're asking me if I know, I've heard that he's in it or he's a slam dunk, I haven't really done the research on it yet.
Well, and Salmi, it's interesting you bring him up, but I thought he had numerous opportunities to turn around the Toronto FC, and that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, mean, you can weigh his candidacy all you want. I'm just saying that that was one of the names. Like, when we were throwing around names this morning, that's one of the names that came up.
I see.
But, Elliot, you talked about maybe the power struggle between Leiweke and the board. I don't want to say that they want to bring in a yes man, but a guy maybe not as strong as influence or ego of a guy like Leiweke. Would that be more of a logical candidate?
Yeah, maybe. But I think that it's hard to do that job. Like, yeah. I think it's hard to do that job without having control. Like to me, what I would really do, the way I think it should work, and this is just my own personal opinion, is that, like, you know, at Petty, Richard Petty at the beginning, like, he made mistakes and he's admitted them. But I thought by the end, Petty had a really good handle on it. He really figured it out. He hired Burke, he hired Colangelo, and he let those guys do their job. He did all the business stuff, but there's no question that Colangelo was the czar of the basketball side, and the czar of the hockey side was Burke. And I think that's the way it has to be. You know, I think you need, like, a business person at the top to handle all the other stuff, and you need to say to the hockey guys and the basketball guys, here's your budget, do it. And I think that under Petty, it really got to that way. And I think Leiweke, you know, I think in a lot of ways he did that. I think that one of the things that they're really going to have to battle is who the next person to come in is managing up. Because the board is the way it is, with a fraction there between two companies, that's the thing that you really have to deal with.